time for a CBJ in 30 short shift. Here's Bob McGillin.
It is finally game day once again as the Blue Jackets continue their series with the Boston Bruins. Game three of this best of seven set. Actually, it's now down to a best of five because each team has won one game so far in this series. But the next two are going to be played here on home ice for the Blue Jackets at Nationwide Arena. CBJ in 30 short shift. I'm Bob McElligott, and the Blue Jackets are fully prepared for this game tonight. They know what they're going to get. The Boston Bruins can say the same thing. They know what they're going to get. Both teams have been going over video over the course of the last day plus and trying to figure out where some of the weaknesses are on the other side. That is the nature of the game, especially when you get to this point, second round of the playoffs, the conference semifinals. There aren't many secrets. It's just about going back, looking to see what you've done, looking to see what they've done, and how those things have countered each other, and then making the adjustments to try to take away some of the stops on the other side. That's what it all comes down to, and no matter what game you're playing and no matter what sport you're playing, it all comes down to eliminating mistakes and taking away what works best for the other team. What's working best for the Blue Jackets right now is their power play. It is clipping along very, very nicely. Their special teams overall actually have been doing well because the penalty kill has been outstanding too. The penalty kill was outstanding during the regular season. This power play stuff just kind of came into existence in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. In just a bit, I'll talk with Oliver Bjorkstrand about the power play and why it has changed now. Why all of a sudden is there success, whereas to where most of the year there was failure with the same thing? The same unit, the same people for the most part. Why has it changed? Oliver Bjorkstrand will give me his perspective on that, but right now I'm going to ask the same question of Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella.
Tort's special teams is so huge in the playoffs, and your power play has come to life, really has come to life in the two series that you played so far here. When they're moving the puck so quickly, is that just the confidence that they have with what's going on the ice?
Well, I think when the puck goes in, it certainly helps your confidence. We're not doing anything different than we were doing a month ago. We have found some space. We've made some quick passes, and we've gotten pucks to the net. We've gotten them through. Score a couple goals, and I think everybody relaxes.
The entry to the zone, how much has that changed since Matt Duchene has joined this team and on that top power play unit has given you another option to kick the puck out?
Yeah. I think they've made an adjustment as far as some of the things we do when we enter the zone. But to have Duchene, he's a quality player. He makes great plays.
Seth Jones sometimes runs the first unit, sometimes runs the second unit. He and Zach have kind of flip-flopped over the course of the past couple of months. He was out there the other night. I think if he's not out there, maybe you don't score that game-winning goal because he goes all the way to the boards on one side, comes all the way back to the other side, just has that length that that Zach doesn't have. What goes into that decision as to who's going to play on what particular unit?
We have our thoughts, but I'm not going to talk about them here.
All right, let's just talk about Seth and the way he's playing. You've said for years that this is a guy that's going to win a Norris Trophy. Do you feel like he's stepping up and showing the entire hockey world just who he is right now?
Yeah, and we're spoiled. We see it every day. I'm just proud of the way he has grown. And what people see is what he's doing on the ice. But there's more growth what he's doing off the ice. So, he is, I've said it to you many times, Bobby, he's our engine, and he's that important to us, so we're going to find a way.
As this year has gone on, Riley Nash, he comes here, he has a hard time finding where he fits in. But now that he has, in the last couple of months of the regular season, what he's done for you in the playoffs, how valuable is this guy to be a part of this team?
Yeah, he had he gets absolutely buried by Chara early in the game. Spends a few minutes to collect himself, then comes back and plays a hell of a hockey game. Smart positionally, adds a little bit of just quiet leadership, just how he goes about his business, and has been on one of our most consistent lines in the first two games.
Being a veteran guy and putting that hit that he put on Krejci in game one, do you kind of know as a player that something like that might be coming?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's part of the game. And these hits, Chara's hit on him was a good, solid hockey hit. So no beefs here. He didn't complain about it. He regrouped. It stung him and just got back into the game and played a huge part in that game.
Speaking of guys that are stinging other people, is Josh Anderson, was he more noticeable in game two for you than game one?
Yeah, he was. And he continues in the physical part of the game. We like to see him have the puck a little bit more. We're going to have to try, as the series goes on, we'll have to get some offense out of him too. this is the responsibility of a Josh Anderson, and that's how important he is to our team.
Played very well at home during round one. You know there's going to be great energy tonight. You know how pumped up the fans were at the end of the last series. I would imagine they're going to be that, maybe 10 times that here tonight, right?
Yeah, I'm happy for the city. It's a really good thing. I hope we keep on putting our best foot forward and put on a good show for them.
Channeling the energy, is that going to be important against
them? Yeah. I'm not going to hold them back. I mean, I want these guys to have a blast, and I think we're learning as we're going through it. I think we've got some good people to calm people down. But we're going to go. I want the enthusiasm, but I think our guys understand the control part of it also.
Are you having a blast, or will you have a blast when it's over?
You know what? As you're going through this here, I'm happy when I see how the players react in a big situation, a big block shot. Nasher coming back and banging right away after he gets filled in by Chara. We win an overtime game. I like seeing that stuff, but, you know, you spend a couple of minutes, you enjoy it. Then we start getting ready for the next game.
Yeah, you got work to do as soon as it's over. You don't have time to sit and revel in it, right?
No, I want our players to, though. And I think our players are smart enough to know when to leave it alone and get ready to push forward.
All right, Torts, thank you. Good luck tonight.
All right, Bobby.
That is Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella. Have you noticed how he's gotten more guarded with me? If I ask him that question about Jones or Werenski playing on either one of the power play units, if I ask him that in January, why'd you make the switch? He would tell me exactly why they made the switch. You ask him during the playoffs, he's not telling you anything. You can get nuts and bolts, and beyond that, good luck to you. And I'm okay with that because that's what the playoffs are all about. He does not want to divulge any type of a secret. He is not going to get it out there, and I respect him for that. That he is a Stanley Cup winning coach. He knows what to do in these situations. He knows how to treat his team. He knows how to bring it in and protect his team in many different aspects of the game. So I'm absolutely fine with all of that. I don't know what he's going to do with his lineup tonight. It was an optional skate today. Ryan Dzingel did not skate. Alexander Texier is, or he did. So I don't know if that's any indication of if Texier is in or not in, or if Dzingel is in or out in. I have no idea. And again, it's playoff time, so you just kind of have to roll with it. You have to guess a little bit, and you have to look for the changes once it gets to warm up tonight and find out who goes on the ice and how they skate and who they skate with and all that stuff. So that's when we will get a much better idea of what's going on with the Blue Jackets lineup when they go out on the ice for warm up right before the game starts tonight at Nationwide Arena. Now, the power play, it's been really, really good. And it really doesn't matter what unit it is, quite frankly. That top unit gets a lot of the fame and fortune because they've got some of the bigger, more experienced offensive guys on that unit. Panarin's on it, Atkinson's on it, Duchesne's on it, just with those three alone. And the other two guys are Nick Foligno and Seth Jones. So there's a lot of talent on the top unit. There's a lot of talent on the second unit. And that's where Oliver Bjorkstrand normally finds himself. But in this series, I'll tell you where Bjorkstrand's found himself, on the ice, into the wall, facing the glass, all that kind of stuff. It has been a rough and tumble series, as we expected, but Oliver Bjorkstrand seems like he is taking the brunt of it. I had a chance to catch up with him and talk about just that.
Oliver, one of the things that's been really prominent in this series so far is the big hits, and you've been the recipient of a couple of those things. But, again, bouncing right back up, and I know throughout the course of the regular season you're one of those guys on the wall, and you're kind of used to that. But does it feel to you like they're coming after you more than anybody else, because, or does it just look that way?
I think it just looks that way. You know, I'm chasing pucks in the corners, and they have to step up a little bit there, and no, I'm going to have to take some hits and just get right back up and keep going.
I guess in some ways it's almost a compliment. What I mean is, if you're on your feet, if you have the puck on your stick, you're a dangerous guy. So if they can take you out of the play, it's totally different.
Yeah, I guess that's a good thing.
That's a better way to look at it, right?
Yeah, I'll look at it that way.
These two games, so they've been so similar, both going to overtime, both ending 3-2. One goes to double overtime. But what are you guys learning, not only about them, but I guess more importantly about yourselves? And because you just look like you keep getting better and more confident.
No, we just got to stick with it, keep working hard, move our feet, and, you know, just kind of stick with our game plan and be patient. So, you know, for game three, we just got to keep going in that direction and just, you know, trust ourselves.
And those things sound so cliched, but they are at the end.
Yeah.
That really is what makes the difference between winning and losing in this league, isn't it?
Yeah, those are the things you need to stick with, and from there, you know, you can build on different things, but that's the main parts.
Throughout the course of the regular season, the power play was It was up and down, but it was mostly down, let's be honest. Yeah. To the point where Marty St. Louis was brought in to work specially with the power play. In the playoffs, it has been outstanding. Mm-hmm. Is there any noticeable thing on your part being part of a power play unit that makes it so different?
I think just playing with more confidence in the power play, and that's a huge thing. And you know, it's everybody, so it's a team effect, and we just got to keep that going.
When you talk about confidence, one thing that's very noticeable is how much more quickly the puck is zipped around. And when you pass it quickly, the penalty killers get out of position and all that stuff. There were times that it was very deliberate this year. Mm-hmm. Now it is free-flowing. Is that all confidence?
I think so, yeah. Confidence is all it is.
Let me ask you about a guy like Seth Jones on the blue line. Because you've been on a power play unit when he's running the point, how much different is that, just knowing that he can literally cover from wall to wall along that blue line?
It's nice. He's a really good player, and you know, you can see that in his game. So, I enjoy playing with him.
This series has been, well, actually, let's just say the playoffs in general. You look at the scoring up and down the score sheet. Everybody has chipped in.
Yeah.
And you always want your best players to be your best players, but everybody wants to be a part of it. How big has that been for you guys as a group?
It's huge. You need four lines to contribute and, you know, to win games. That's definitely a key point. So, you know, we just got to have each lane going. And, again, we're looking for the four lines to be rolling.
How much do you appreciate the guys like the Boone Jenners, Riley Nashes, and Brandon Dubinskys, especially when you get into a series like this?
Oh, I mean, a huge part. You know, they're out there and giving us a lot of good minutes and working the puck deep and taking defensive draws. So it's a huge line for us, and I'd like to see that going.
You know, I was thinking about this earlier today. If you look at the course of the regular season, like, you would never guess in December what the lines would be in the playoffs. You would never guess the roles that guys would have. Your season, I think, is a great indicator. There were times when you couldn't get in the lineup. Mm-hmm. You were trying to fight just to be able to play in games. Now he's got you on the top line there. You're producing. A guy like Dubinsky has taken a lesser role, and it has morphed into a really important thing. Isn't it kind of funny how it all works out?
Yeah, it's a long season. A lot of things happen, and, you know, it's a different lineup in playoffs, and that's just how it is. So, you know, it's fun to be a part of.
Playing at home is different, but how much do you have to make sure that it's not different? All those things that you talked about before, the little things that decide wins and losses, not feeding too much on the energy because you know it's going to be a raucous in this place. So you know that from the last round. So how much do you have to take that and use it the right way?
We just got to keep going in the right direction and like we've been doing now. And, you know, again, the crowd's going to be amazing, so I think we're all going to enjoy that, but just got to be ready for the game in the right way.
Can you imagine it being even better than it was in that fourth game against Tampa?
No, but I'm sure it's going to.
Oliver, thank you so much. Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
That is Blue Jackets forward Oliver Bjorkstrand. He and I have had this agreement over the first two games. I started this in Boston the other day before game one. I was in the dressing room, and I walked near him, and I started to talk to him, and he said, do you need me? Like to do an official interview? I said, no. I just wanted to talk to you. I said, I'll make you a deal. I'll interview you after you score tonight. And he said, that's a good deal. I'll take it. So he didn't score in that game. So before game two, I said, hey, what the heck happened? We had a deal. He goes, yeah, sorry. I'll get it done tonight. And then he didn't score in that game either. So this time around, I said to him, look, I'm tired of waiting for you. Let's reverse this thing. And I'll talk to you and then see if that results in you getting a goal. So if he gets a goal tonight, yes, I will take full credit for that. And I hope that he does get that goal. He's a really important part of what's going on here for the Blue Jackets. With the Boston Bruins, their head coach Bruce Cassidy is not as close to the vest with the lineup changes as John Tortorella has been. In fact, Cassidy is making a lineup change for tonight. Carson Kuhlman is coming into the lineup, and he is going to take the place of Chris Wagner. Wagner's a gritty, physical kind of guy. He's coming out, though, in favor of Kuhlman. And I believe, unless they change things here, Kuhlman is going to start on a line with Jake DeBrusk and David Krejci, which means that David Pastrnak, who had been playing that other wing, instead of being in that spot, he's going to drop down and play with Charlie Coyle and Marcus Johansson. That's the way they skated yesterday. It looks as though that might be the way the Boston Bruins start this game. And again, how you play your lines in the very first shift, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares, because if a change needs to be made, it's going to come relatively quickly. There is no doubt. Pre-game coverage starts at 6 o'clock tonight. The game is at 7 o'clock. You can hear the game on the Blue Jackets radio network, including the flagship station 97.1, The Fan in Columbus. Also, our network stations throughout Ohio and in parts of West Virginia. Jody Shelley will join me on the radio broadcast tonight, as he will do throughout the rest of the playoffs, as long as the Blue Jackets go. You can also get the game on your phone by using the Blue Jackets app or by using the TuneIn app. You can get it on your computer or laptop by going to bluejackets.com. And if you're tuning in via satellite radio, we are on the main NHL radio channel. That is SiriusXM Channel 91 is where you can find us tonight. It's game three. Somebody's going to have a lead in this series by the end of the night. Will it be the Blue Jackets or will it be the Boston Bruins? The only way to answer that question is by playing the game. And later tonight, that will take place. I will be there with you. Until then, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.